Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 3, which says, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." And we've been looking over the last couple of episodes at this idea of the exhortation that the Apostle Paul is talking about, that encouragement that's supposed to come from the other members of the body of Christ to each other in order to keep the body of Christ focused on the truth of getting the word in this dispensation out, to keep individuals focused on spreading the gospel message that's for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And individuals really need to be encouraged to keep this message going, because there are so many things out there today that really try to pull individuals away from the truth of what God's Word says. And that's why the Apostle Paul talks about this issue, and you see him mention it several times through his epistles, and as he describes this exhortation that was coming for them, he says and gives these things of how it didn't come in these manners. We looked last time at the idea of deceit. Now he's going to shift into this idea of the uncleanness and how the exhortation was not accompanied by this idea of the uncleanness, because one of the things that was going on really in the early church was there was some problems related to the idea of the uncleanness that was going on. And we see, for example, here, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth, give a description here of some things that were going on in this local assembly. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, we're going to start here right at verse number 1. It says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Now, as you look at the Apostle Paul giving this description of what's going on, you see how he starts to talk about that there's fornication that's going on in this assembly, and describes it in the manner that it's something that is not even common among the Gentile nations, among the unsaved people, that these members of the body of Christ were doing things that even the unsaved would be looking and saying that this is something that shouldn't be done. And here they were doing these things. Now, when you see this, unfortunately, individuals really do look at the lifestyle of individuals and don't understand, you know, some of the things that the scriptures do describe related to the members of the body of Christ, and how, you know, they try to hold us to the standard of what the law actually said. Now, it's very clear that the Apostle Paul tells us we are not under the law. We see passages such as, for example, I'm going to read here in the book of Romans in chapter number 6, verse 14. which says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." We also see here, we're reading in the book of Galatians in chapter number 5, where you see as the Apostle Paul talking to an assembly that had dealt with this issue where people were trying to put themselves back under the law. And he says in verse 1 of Galatians 5, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, we know that we have been made free from the law. We're not under that performance-based system. However, it does not give us a license to actually just go out and live our lives any old way. In fact, that's the whole issue, what the Apostle Paul gets into things, for example, in Romans chapter number 6, because individuals, that's the most logical question they ask about, you know, what should happen related to the idea of sin. And here in Romans 6, we actually read a passage here. Let's start in verse number 15 of Romans chapter 6. Says, "What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the issue is that, you know, we are not to be going and doing those things. You know, even though we have a liberty to be able to try to do all of these things, and individuals really in the dispensation of the grace of God have done some things to really try to, you know, take advantage of what they feel is this liberty that we have. You know, you have individuals who understand this doctrine and the salvation that's been given to us who advocate the idea of polygamy because they'll twist some verses around and say, well, this is what God intends. You have individuals who are advocating polyamory, the idea of, well, I can just love everyone and I can have, you know, fornication with all sorts of individuals because, you know, I'm not under the law. You know, I don't have to worry about these things. You know, there's a standard that God does have for the members of the body first. And he explains some things about, you know, even though we have this liberty, what the end result of it is. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to actually deal with this issue of individuals trying to live, you know, this life where they are doing things that God would determine to be unclean in his eyes. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, I want to start here, verse number 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And you see how the Apostle Paul defines all these different things, and then talks about how all things are lawful for him to do, and then starts to describe, well, it might be lawful to do these things. It's not expedient to be doing some of these things. As we, you know, think about this, I want to go over, I'm going to read a passage here in chapter number 10 of the exact same epistle here, where he's dealing with, you know, a similar thing. And in verse 23, when he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And so there's an issue of that there are certain things that do not edify individuals. They don't build people up because they see that it's, you know, unclean. It's wrong. You see how Paul talks about abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, there's a thing in our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 where he talks about an individual being brought under the power of any. There's the idea that there's things of they're not expedient because there are consequences that come about as a result of doing certain things. And when we look at the idea of the uncleanness and these things that the Apostle Paul warns us that we're not to be doing, we see how there's an impact on both the unsaved and the saved members of the body of Christ when individuals are doing the things that are contrary to sound doctrine. Because the doctrine is what lays out and tells us exactly what we should and shouldn't do. And when we look at, for example, the impact on the unsaved, you know, when an unsaved individual looks at a member of the body of Christ and sees them doing certain things, the testimony of that individual is ruined to the point of where if they're trying to share the gospel with that individual, they don't want to listen to what it is that they're saying. Individuals who are unsaved also, you know, wait for the people who are saved to fall and make mistakes, and as soon as they do, they point them out very quickly, you know, even though they might be doing the exact same thing or they know others who are doing the exact same thing. It doesn't matter because they are trying to hold a member of the body of Christ to a completely different standard than they would to the rest of the world. You know, that's why when you see Paul describe how we're to be living our lives, he talks about how we're lights unto this world because we have the truth of God's word, and the truth of God's word should also be living in us and through us to be able to give individuals that light to see this is what God's word can actually do for them. Now, just as it has an impact on the unsaved, it also has an impact on the members of the body of Christ as well, because we're supposed to be examples to each other. We're supposed to be that pattern of this is how we're supposed to live our lives. That's why when you see the Apostle Paul describe and say, you know, follow me as I followed Christ. He lays out this thing of, you know, this is the pattern that you're supposed to have. That's what, when he even identifies that he's the pattern, it's not his salvation that's the pattern. The pattern that's laid out is the fact that he gives us the doctrine and tells us exactly how it is that we should be living. And that's, you know, the very key thing, and you've heard me say that several times, that idea of that we should do certain things. Under the law, it was a requirement in order to either obtain or maintain salvation that a person had to do these things. in the dispensation of the grace of God, it's a thing of that we should do these things. You know, we don't lose our salvation if we don't do it. We lose our rewards. We lose the ability to have that testimony for other individuals, but we don't actually lose this salvation that's been given to us. That's why when you see how the Apostle Paul describes certain things, let's go over into the book of Ephesians, and we'll go to Ephesians chapter number 2 here to see what the Apostle Paul says related to salvation here. And we're going to read a passage that a lot of individuals know the first couple verses that we're going to read here. We're going to start in verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter number 2. And it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we're going to stop there for a second. We're going to continue on and read the next verse in a moment. But the first part of this is actually talking about the salvation that's been given to us, how that salvation is truly through the grace that's been extended to us, because it's everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross at Calvary, how he paid the issue of sin, and that's all we have to do is put our trust in what he did. That's why it's the question of the faith. It's his faith that's the question that's of what's being looked at by God. Now, when we see in verse 10, the next piece of this where it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So God ordained that we should walk in these good works. It's not a requirement for our salvation, but it's something that God wants us to do. He wants us to follow the doctrine that has been laid out. He wants us to have that renewing of the mind, which is then going to allow for us to do the right things that God intends for the members of the body of Christ to do. And it would allow for us to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live through us, which is exactly what Galatians chapter number 2 verse 20 talks about, of the thing of the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. We see how Paul talks about what is supposed to happen. We go over to Colossians chapter number 1 and we see the prayer that the Apostle Paul offers up for the individuals who are in Colossae here. And in Colossians chapter number 1, we're going to read here starting at verse 9, says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And we see as the Apostle Paul is offering up this prayer, you see that the first part of it is that he's praying that they would have this filling with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that there would be this increase in the knowledge of what God's will for them would be. And that increase in the knowledge comes about, as I mentioned, the renewing of the mind, as a person takes in the Word of God and takes in the Word of God through the principle of right division, understanding which passages truly do apply to us, which passages do not, knowing that it's only Romans through Philemon that's going to apply to us. And as a person studies and starts applying the doctrine, then what's going to happen is that mind is going to be renewed. And as that mind is renewed, the next part of what he says here, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That the issue is that as a person has their growth of what it is the doctrine for today has for us, that the end result of that is going to be that they're going to walk worthy. They're going to do the things that God intends. And that's why you see as he lays out in his epistles, he starts with the idea, he gives the doctrine and things, and then as he's giving the doctrine, after he lays it out, he then shifts into the practical things. He shifts into how it's going to work out, so that way we have the patterns and the understanding of how we're supposed to live our life. That's why you see a passage, let's go over to Titus chapter number 2, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul actually lay this out here, starting in verse number 11 of Titus chapter number 2. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And we see how the Apostle Paul lays out that it's the grace of God that's going to teach a person, you know, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So the grace of God teaches there are certain things that a person shouldn't do. And it also teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So just as the grace of God teaches us, here's some things you're not supposed to do, it's going to teach us, here's some things that you should be doing in your life. And if you're doing this list of the should, then you're going to be pleasing to God. You're going to be living the life that God intends. And you're not going to have, as the Apostle Paul to the assembly in Thessalonica starts talking about, that exhortation or that encouragement being accompanied with uncleanness. Now, the reality of things is, you know, how many, I'm going to use this word in, almost in quotes, how many Christian entities can actually say that this is what's going on with them today? You know, unfortunately, there are so many individuals who say name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and are not living the example. They're not doing the things that God would intend for us to do. And they're not doing it because they're not applying the doctrine of the grace of God to their lives. Now, whether it's the fact that they don't understand right division, whether it's the fact that they feel that they have a liberty to do all sorts of things and it doesn't matter if they do those things, you know, and that's, you know, really an unfortunate thing if they think it doesn't matter, because it, we've already seen how it truly does have an impact on the members of the body of Christ if individuals are living a life that is contrary to what God intends, because it's going to take people away from the truth of what God's word says in this dispensation. Now, in our next episode, we're going to finish up looking at the idea of this exhortation, what it was not accompanied by. We're going to look at the issue of guile and what the Apostle Paul means by that, especially related to the exhortation that we're supposed to have with each other. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to join our Sunday services either live on Facebook or live on YouTube. And, you know, those are also being recorded and saved there in the video formats as well. So, you know, if you want to avail yourselves of those, you know, it's a great opportunity to be able to study God's Word with us. There's information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call information. And if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in our messages, anything on our websites, anything in one of these broadcasts, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.